I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio. 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio. It's show 94. Who would think it? We got 94 of these done now. Bart Cop Radio, often seen on BartCop.com on your local internets. Now, due to time constraints, I'm only going to have one shot to get this right, so let's hope I'm lucky. Today's show, I got a whole list of things here, wondering how much I'll make it in, how much won't. I see Bill Bennett's name up there. We're going to smack that lying bastard around quite a bit. I see we have a little piece on Bono. The Dixie Chicks were on Dave. He had something to say about that. I had a problem with a fence right here at Casa de Bart, and it shouldn't have turned into the biggest problem in the world, but it did, and so I'm going to have to tell you about that. Saw something in Rolling Stone about Taylor Hicks that needed to be said, so I said it. Got a little story about Kanye, what's his name? Kanye West, is that the rapper's name? We had the occasion to see him. Thought I'd tell you about that. I see we got some letters. I see we got a... you don't want to hear about this. They're doing something to the national parks. That some bitch is a bad, bad man. We're going to have to make him pay for that. Got a little bit of TV talk, not too much, because I know how you hate the TV talk. Tim Russert needs to be slapped around. I'm just the guy to do that. Tony Soprano had a thing or two he wanted to get off his chest. We allowed him to do that. David Spade, if you hear a voice doing some funny stuff that you're not sure who is, think about David Spade. Might be him. Oh, then there's a Tommy Mac character. He showed up. We had a good time. Plus much, much, much more. So tell you what, first thing I'm going to do a shot of Chinaco to kick this baby off. Oh, the flavors flood my body. Oh, that's so nice. So, big, big show. This is probably going to turn into a three-disker. Don't know if you like that. Don't know if you hate it. But I figure if it turned out to be a three-disker, I got a really, really nice garbage concert that I thought I might throw in as the fourth disc. And if the garbage band doesn't like me doing that, well, I guess they could call me, or they could send me an email, or they could have their mean-ass attorney call me. But, you know, a kind word from Shirley or anyone in the band would go a whole lot more towards getting me to stop doing that. If some big-ass lawyer shows up with a threat, now we're going to battle. Now we're going into it. So if they want me to stop it, the easiest way to be just, you know, Shirley, there you go. Shirley, call the Bart phone. I don't have the number memorized. Go to BartCop.com. It's right there. Big red letters. Call the Bart phone. Say, Bart, you're a fun guy. I can't do the Irish accent, but just call and say, Bart, this is Shirley. I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't send out any more of our concerts, but it's a really good concert. Apparently, the band's broken up. Apparently, they're not going to produce any more concerts like this. So, that'll be a thrill for you people, I can tell. All right, we've done a shot at Chinaco. Told you what's going to be on the show. But then again, that's a guess. Who the hell knows? What the hell? Let's give it a shot. Here we go. Show 94, boom.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all. Look out.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Listen to me. Oh, I despise. Cause it means destruction of innocent lives.
You put young men under the stress of battle. In World War II, plenty of American GIs shot cold-bloodedly German POWs. The point is that this is going to be used and is already being used by the opponents of the president, domestically and abroad, as a blood libel, not just against these young men, but against the military service and against the country. I've always been on one show. I've already been on one show this week where they were tarring the entire honor of the American men and women in uniform.
First of all, that's total bullshit. You don't get to say, I was on one show where they completely tarred everyone at every war uniform. Well, Tony, why don't you say who that was, what show it was, let us decide if you're telling the truth or not. You don't get to decide what your opponent's position is. Why don't you let us decide? Let us hear from your opponent and we'll decide what his position is. You're trying to pull a pig boy here and define your enemy. Why don't you speak, then let them speak, and we'll judge. Besides, the idea that anyone who says it's wrong to have a Haditha massacre and talk about it is hurting the military is crazy. If you look at the opposite of that, the military can massacre anybody, as many kids as they want, for as many days, weeks, months, or years as they want, and nobody can ever say anything because that, quote, hurts the military? Has America gone so far down the path into hell that it's wrong to condemn massacring 5-year-old kids? You don't put a gun to the back of the head of a child and pull the trigger. I don't care what the circumstances are. I mean, I realize that it happens. But those people need to be punished. They need to be taken out of combat. Getting on to the bigger thing, these kids over there, they weren't trained. We talked about this a few times. You know, some guy, he signs up and they say, well, we're going to teach you how to do X and Y. If you're good at construction, we're going to teach you how to build a bridge. We're going to teach you how to build roads. And we need roads over in Iraq, so we're going to send you over there. And he gets over there, they hand him a gun, and they say, go prowl the streets. Well, hey, I'm going to shoot everything that moves. I'm not going to shoot a little kid in the back of the head, but if I'm walking down a dark street at night and I hear a trash can kick over, I'm probably going to fire a couple shots into it because I'm scared and I'm panicky and I don't have any clue what I'm doing and it's 100 degrees and I got sweat all over me. I got flies or sand fleas chewing on me and it's just fucking hell and I don't want to be here. And oh Christ, my friend just had his head blown off. Oh Christ, and now I just heard a noise, so I'm going to fire towards the noise. This is a bad deal. But yes, it's a whole different thing to have a panic situation when and you return fire. You know, you see a kid that's 12, 13, 14 years old, and he lifts his hand up. You shoot him before he can shoot you, and then after you drop him, you look, and he's got a camera in his hand, or he's got a toy, or he's got a hell, an American flag in his hand. You saw some pole in his hand, you thought it's a rifle, so you shoot the kid dead. Turns out he's got an American flag in his hand, he's trying to welcome you into his town. It's a bad situation, but the idea anyone that condemns that Haditha massacre is hurting the military, Tony, you have no credibility. You had no business even talking about the subject.
Pat's correct. It's going to be a propaganda catastrophe for the United States. And the over-reporting of it by a gleeful media is more damaging to the country than any other single fact.
That's more hogwash, Tony. I am a Democrat. If I rape a child and shoot her in the head and say, oh, my opponents will gleefully report this. My opponents are going to point to this as reasons why Bart's a bad guy. Well, yeah, that's what the opponents do when you screw up real, real bad.
Well, was there a cover-up of this atrocity by the Marine Corps itself?
That is something which has actually been looked into at the moment as part of the Pentagon investigation.
But wait, Tony Blankley has already established the precedent that anyone who speaks any negativity about the military is hurting us in Iraq. So how in the world are we going to trust the Pentagon to give us the facts? How in the world can we trust the Pentagon to investigate this if reporting the facts helps Al-Qaeda?
And I think what's really interesting about it is whether it does show a sort of cultural of complicity in the military about these sorts of incidents. You had that earlier with Pat
Tillman. Let her finish.
You had it earlier with Pat Tillman last year, that, you know, the NFL football star who died in Afghanistan. There was a botched investigation into his death. They basically told Senator McCain that he'd been killed in friendly fire. He'd been killed in the course of battle, but he was killed in friendly fire.
How in the world do you call a cover-up a botched investigation? To me, a botched investigation is when the police get to JonBenet Ramsey's house and they find a blanket from somewhere and they cover the body with it. Now the body's full of hairs and fibers and contamination from, you know, who knows what. That's a botched investigation. When you shoot an Army Ranger in the back and say, oh, the enemy did it, and then during the autopsy they find out he's got the bullet in his back is from an American gun, and the gun was pressed against them. You know, I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying the autopsy proves it wasn't. Well, that's not a botched investigation. That's a cover-up. And when you get caught in a cover-up, you scream, botched investigation? That doesn't make any sense. Also, just for kicks, it would be interesting to count how many times John McLaughlin has to scream, let her finish, let her finish. Whether it's this lady or Eleanor, every time they get half a sentence out, Pappy Cannon or Tony Blankley's the blah, 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 they're going to just jump right in and step all over. It seems to me, I guess everybody's got their own personal definition of what being a Nazi is, but to me, it's shouting down the other guy, shouting down the opposition. If I say Jimmy Page is a better guitar player and you like Ted Nugent and I won't let you speak, well, I'm just being a Nazi about the whole question. If I think my guy is good, I'll make my case and I'll shut up for a second and let you make your case. But when you refuse to let the other guy make a case, to me, that's a good definition of being a Nazi.
So we've seen this before with the military. So I think there's a wider point about accountability here, which is how many people have actually been convicted higher up the military for things like Abu Ghraib, and we'll have to see what will happen with this incident.
There's a culture of complicity in the military?
I think it raises questions about that, certainly.
This is my point. Our military is probably undoubtedly more pristine and careful regarding this than any other military in history.
That's another thing that makes no damn sense at all. If I'm in the military and I walk up to a four-year-old girl and shoot her in the back of the head, and they say, what the hell is going on here? How in the hell do you say, oh, our military is the best trained, the best equipped? What the hell does that have to do with anything? You don't get to shoot a kid in the back of the head or in the front of the head or any time. The way I understand it, they walked into this house. There's 8 or 10 people in this house. No, there was like 25 people in this house or in the building. And they walked through and executed all those people. You don't get to stand up and say these guys are well-trained. I think the idea that they just murdered 25 kids or 25 people, half of them kids, I think that kind of says they weren't so well-trained.
Even then, the British, who are also punctilious in their traditions of honorable.
Punctilious? Tony, I got an IQ of 64. I'll kick your ass in a debate 8 days a week. But don't use words like punctilious, because I ain't got time to go get the damn dictionary. Punctilious my ass.
Combat, but it's already being used. A culture. There's never been an army that has fought more honorably and has taken less collateral damage.
Two things.
Seeing the tarring of our entire military by people who are only too glad to see this happen to this country.
Hey, Tony, I got a big thunderbolt for you. Nobody with any credibility can accuse the military of murdering kids if they don't murder kids. You know what I mean? If they say, oh, they murdered a bunch of kids. Even I think a horror reporter is going to say, show me, where, what kids did they murder? And if there are no dead kids, it's real hard to make the case that the military killed them. Anyone who says, stop killing those kids, is attacking the military. Oh, the most honorable military in the world. Yeah, fine, let's take that at face value for a minute. If they're so well trained and fighting so hard and doing such a good job, why are they shooting kids in the head, Tony? It's the easiest way in the world to stop the accusations is to not do it in the first place. Please, somebody argue with me on that point.
I haven't seen the tarring of our military on any of these shows. I think there is an acknowledgement of the reality that this is an administration that put troops in, didn't equip them, and left them there, and they're overstressed.
Oh, that's nonsense.
That is part of it. Oh. And secondly, in terms of the punctiliousness of traditions, this is what this country is about. We are not going to act as barbarous as our enemies. And if we do, we lose every shred of moral high ground that we have left.
Let me talk about the culture of the Marine Corps. These guys are tough kids. I know a lot of kids I grew up with went into the Marine Corps. They believe in one another, and these guys in Iraq not only believe in one another, they go into battle again and again with one another, and when one of them gets in trouble, they stand by them.
Another complete and total non sequitur, doesn't have a damn thing to do with the subject at hand. The idea that if one Marine sticks up for another Marine, fine. But unless, maybe Pat's saying that's part of the problem. If you shoot my friend, I'm going to get mad and return fire, yeah, but if I go into a house and shoot a kid because somebody, I doubt the 5-year-old kid shot my friend, but it's like Bush in Iraq. It's a target we can find. So, you know, we can't attack Al-Qaeda, so we're going to attack the guy with the oil fields. We can find him. But how idiotic to bring up, oh, these Marines, they're good guys. They work hard. What the hell does that have to do? We're talking about Marines that shot kids in the head. What in the world does it mean when you start talking about, oh, the traditions back in 1840? No, screw all that. We're talking about right here, right now. A little sidebar. You notice Pat talked about his friends in the military. You know why Pat Buchanan wasn't in the military? This is a good one. He hurt his knee beating up a cop. I don't know. You know, I've heard the story. It's a real story. But he got in some kind of altercation with a cop, and he beat up the cop, or he had a fight with the cop, and he hurt his knee. So when it came time to go to Vietnam, oh, my knee, it hurts so bad. And now he's explained it to us, the tradition of the proud tradition of the Marines and what it means to be a Marine. And you got to understand the culture behind the Marines. Well, yeah, Pat, where was your ass when it was time to join? You're too busy getting hurt, beating up a cop to help your country out, Pat. Maybe on this subject, you ought to shut the F up.
There's a healthy family culture to these fellows that obviously runs into trouble when one of their guys gets into trouble. The natural tendency of a Marine is to stand by his buddy and get him out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but naturally, that comes into conflict with another idea of America, which is we got to do justice even to our friends and members of our family. This is a very, very tough situation for these Marines.
Wait, why is it a very tough situation for the Marines? Tony Blankley just started screaming poppycock when Eleanor said they were ill-equipped and ill-trained to be over there and tired and restless and nervous and everything else. And Tony Blankley's sitting there screaming, that's bullshit, that's horseshit, poppycock, that's not true. A minute later, Pat Buchanan says, oh, so these guys are under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. Well, geez, why don't the two of you fight and make up your damn minds, and then when you agree on one story, I'll discredit it.
The court. About the rules of engagement,
but look,
because you have an administration that basically said the Geneva Conventions don't matter.
That was a climate that was set at the very top.
And torture policies were pushed beyond where they
should
be.
Hold on, Tony. I want to hear from Caroline.
So there is a climate that has been...
Tony is sitting there just lying his ass off. Alberto Gonzalez specifically ruled that torture is okay. Bush and Cheney said we have to have an exemption from the no torture rule because these are serious times. And so they go out and torture or murder or whatever. And when Eleanor says that's a bad thing, Tony screams outrageous. Yeah, Tony, we agree. It is outrageous. If they're not torturing, if they're not murdering, why is Bush asking for an exemption from the rule?
I think it's still worth asking the question why it took so long to, you know, a media outlet to actually ask questions about the incident and to investigate it. So I think I'm not necessarily saying that there's a cover-up here that's being looked at. And in fact, finally, we are having an administration which is being far more open about that. We have three different investigations underway into this incident. And they're doing it as openly as they can.
Of condemnation, too.
Hold on. Let's take a look at the facts. The Haditha massacre, if that's how you pronounce it, it happened in November. They sat on it. November, December, January, February, March. Was it April or May it came to light? They sat on it for 5 months. Finally, Time magazine said, hey, what about all those kids that were shot in the head? And the military was going, what? Yeah, all those kids, the 25, Haditha, the big massacre. We're going to investigate that. Which kind of proves, without Time magazine, they weren't going to investigate a goddamn thing. 25 more dead people, 25 more murders, half of them kids. Who cares? They're brown skin. And after a five-month cover-up, Time magazine finally points to it, and Pat Buchanan calls that a culture of condemnation.
And there's a media culture, aha, we got them.
Pat, that's not true. You know it. I know it. Bob Dole knows it. The American people know it. Can I repeat the facts to you again, Pat? The government, the military, sat on that information. They sat on the facts of the massacre for 5 months until Time magazine said, hey, what about that? How is that some kind of gotcha journalism. Where's this glee that Pat and Tony keep talking about? The giggling glee. We got you. Ha, ha, ha. Nobody sees any of that. Show us. You sit on a mask here for 5 months. Finally, someone brings it up. And you talk about all the press is happy. How in the world do you jump to that wild conclusion? I guess maybe your position is such shit that that's the best you've got.
And aha, we're going to put these guys on.
Well, I think
there's no doubt about that.
I think
the reporting that hasn't been the spirit. It's not the spirit on this show, and it has not been its own anywhere.
But there is a sense. Aha.
Pat, got a question for you. How would you compare this sense of aha, we gotcha, to the 10-year jihad you guys ran against Bill Clinton? Talk about your gotcha, aha. You guys wet your pants when you thought you caught Clinton. Now we got 25 murders and a shitload of dead kids, and you're whining about the gotcha. Dead kids? Oral sex? Yeah. Yeah, we Democrats, we're always the evil ones.
Well, there is also a sense that the media has been manipulated. For example, one Marine Corps officer, Captain Jeffrey Poole, told Time that the allegations of civilian murders were, quote, Al-Qaeda in Iraq propaganda. Another Marine officer, Lieutenant Colonel Michelle Martin Hing, dismissed the incident as death caused when insurgents placed the civilians in the line of fire. Both are public affairs officers and both lied to the press about the killings.
Now, those would seem to be facts. Odd that I'm going to take John McLaughlin's word on that, but he gives the names and he quotes these officers who stood there and flat out lied, and you can't say they didn't know. No, it's their job to report what happened. It's like Scotty the Underbear or Tony Snow coming out and lying his ass off when you say later, well, how is he supposed to know? Hey, if he doesn't know, he should say, I don't know. But when you come out and say, this is what happened. This is what happened. You don't get to say, well, how am I supposed to know later?
There is truth, John, to what, listen, Al-Qaeda is going to seize
you cannot defend the Marines concealing first, facts from the public that the public ought to know about.
All right, you can't, look,
that
I
is a culture of arrogance.
No, it isn't. It is a familial culture. They're a very Catholic group, the Marine Corps used to be, John.
Another non sequitur in a never-ending, long, long line of non-sequiturs. Pat Buchanan says the Marines are Catholic. That's why they lied. That's why they murdered those kids. That's why they murdered the 25 people in the Haditha massacre. Because they were Catholics? How goddamn stupid is that? They apparently have no case at all. When you're caught red-effing-handed with a bunch of dead kids, how in the hell do you say, oh, the Marines are proud tradition. Oh, the Marines are Catholic. Oh, the Marines are well-trained. What does that have to do with the dead kids laying there? They've got absolute zip on their side. The facts are on our side, as always. They've got nothing, as always. So one after another, what about a white horse in Idaho? Well, what the fuck does a white horse in Idaho have to do with any goddamn thing? Stick to the subject, argue the facts of the case. Oh, they can't do that because the facts aren't on their side, so they make up crap out of nowhere and pretend that's a defense.
You stand by
your
buddy.
Are we invoking religion to defend?
No, I'm just saying these guys are like kids who belong to a family, and they defend one another. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying you've got to understand
people who try to take care of their
families.
You're probably tired of me cutting in and saying this, but here we go. I guess it's for the fourth time. You have to understand, these guys take care of each other. When his buddy got shot, he ran in the house and murdered those kids. You have to understand that. No, Pat, we don't understand that. Explain it to us. Forget the White Horse in Idaho. Forget the Catholics. Forget the training. Forget all that. And just explain the facts. Why did they shoot the kids in the head? Because they're buddies. They're a family. Pat, that doesn't make any damn sense. We all know that. What's wrong with you, Pat? You're on the show because you're a professional debater. You're considered an expert at putting out the GOP point of view. So where the hell is it? Why can't you give us the GOP point of view here, Pat? You're doing everything but.
General Marshall and Eisenhower's army did not put out press releases every time there was an incident like this during World War II, and they were hardly anything less than honorable leaders.
Another non sequitur from the side who's got no facts. If Marshall and Eisenhower went through France and Belgium shooting children in the head. We should know about it. We should not cover that up. Don't know if it happened or not because we didn't have anywhere near the press coverage that we have now. But again and again, they're arguing why it's okay for these kids to be shot. Again and again, they're excusing the massacre with every stupid out-of-the-air excuse they can think of. None of it has anything to do with the facts. It's very clear, at least to me. You know, I no longer claim to be Joe Debater, but these talk shows would be a little different if I was on the panel. These people, they sit around, the five of them, and they argue the most idiotic positions. What we've got is the pro-massacre people arguing with the anti-massacre people. And there ought not to even be a discussion. The way this should have worked is they should have said that Haditha massacre was a horrible thing, and it's part of the tragedies of war. It's just another reason why we shouldn't be over there. But no, they can't say that. They're going to stick with Bush no matter how many children are shot in the head. It's just crazy. If Jesus Christ was sitting there, they'd tell him, shut the fuck up because he's not with Bush's program.
I think it should be prosecuted internally.
Prosecuted internally, Tony? They failed to recognize that there even was a massacre. How are we going to leave it up to them to police themselves if they're going to, as a routine matter, close their eyes every time there's a massacre? They sat on the massacre for 5 months, and Tony thinks it should be handled internally. Well, you did handle it internally for 5 months, and you didn't do a damn thing. You sent your people out there to lie. It didn't happen. It's Al-Qaeda propaganda. That's how those children died, and then the facts came out. And Tony thinks we should handle that internally. Blow me, Tony Blankley.
Commandant, sit on the facts. It appears as though he did. Now, what we have seen so far from this administration is other forms of censorship. We have seen military domestic spying. We've seen electronic eavesdropping. We've seen data mining. We've seen press manipulation and censorship. Has it all gone a little bit too far, denying the public what they ought to know? I ask you.
I think I wouldn't put it in that wider perspective necessarily. You certainly have an administration which has been very protective of presidential authority.
Nuh-uh. You didn't just say that. You didn't just say that. Holy Jesus, did you hear what that lady said? Protective of presidential powers. Did she really say that? Let's take a minute to look at the record. One thing they like to do, they like to keep their deliberations secret. Remember in 2001 when Cheney had his oil buddies up there before 9/11 that they were going to divvy up the oil fields in Iraq? And when the public asked who was at that meeting, they said, we're not going to tell you. You don't have a right to know what's going on in the people's name in the people's house. You just shut up and don't worry. The nonpartisan General Accounting Office sued to get the facts, and Bush had one of his crooked judges dismiss the lawsuit. One of the first things Bush did when he got in office was the restricted presidential papers going back 25 years. All of Reagan's business had to be hidden. All of his father's business had to be hidden. Of course, that included Clinton, too. But then now all of Bush's information, all his papers, that's all got to be hidden. You call that being protective of presidential powers? As a routine matter, they set aside laws and treaties. Gonzalez, in his previous job as White House counsel, issued a memo asserting that the president could violate federal laws and international treaties when he viewed it as necessary. Repeat, Gonzalez ruled that the president didn't have to obey the damn law. And you call that protecting presidential powers? They also decided they were going to interpret and curtail the new laws. Bush signed 750 signing statements, meaning, yes, this is the law, unless I care not to follow the son of a bitch. You call that protecting presidential powers? To permit warrantless surveillance on certain domestic phone calls? What do you mean certain? Which phone calls is Bush not allowed to listen to? Gonzalez already said he can do whatever he wants, anything he feels is necessary. And that would be keeping Republicans in the White House because the liberals are going to help Al-Qaeda. So as Bush's people interpret it, Bush can do anything he wants to protect America. If liberals get in, America will be destroyed so Bush can legally tamper with the election. Look at the goddamn facts. When they tell you up front, we don't have to obey the laws, well, then what the hell? That would include election laws, we must assume. What about limiting judicial oversight? Have you heard this bullshit now? When the news broke that the White House leaned on AT&T and Verizon and whoever else to get all these phone records. Senator Spector harumphed and said, by God, we're going to get these men in here. We're going to get the presidents of those corporations in here. We're going to grill them under oath. By God, we're going to see what happened. Where did that go? They decided not to. They made a deal with the White House. Spector made a deal with Cheney. They said, well, tell you what, if you would, in future crimes, would you get a court's okay when you feel like it? If you don't have other things, if you're not too busy that day, would you go ahead and ask the court about future crimes? Tell you what, I'm going to knock over five banks. And when you try to charge me, I'm going to say, well, tell you what, instead of that, why don't I not knock over so many banks next time? And they agreed to that, the sons of bitches. Spector is a sellout whore from the beginning. He made all these harump, we're going to investigate. And then Cheney said, no, you're not. And he said, oh, okay. And this idiot, this Caroline, whatever her name is, says Bush is protective of presidential powers. My God. Have you ever heard such horseshit in your whole damn life? We live in the damn bizarro world. Everything is just crazy. The president declares, I don't have to obey the law. Oh, my God. When Bill Clinton tried to be a president, they said, no, no, no. You're not above the law. No, no, no. We're going to tie you up with 100 lawsuits from here till the end of your term because you're not above the law. That was what the law was in the 90s. But now that it's a new president, oh, he's above all that. He can pick and choose the laws he wants to obey. And the Congress just sits there. The Democrats, they decide that's okay with them. Crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never gonna rub it and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound. Crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound. Crying all the time. Well, you